chapter 3, verse 10. Paul said, "Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." Paul appreciated the value of faith in a believer's life. We read this morning in Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 6, "Without faith it is impossible to please God." Paul knew that. It's a possibility that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. But even if he didn't, he did appreciate the fact that faith was essential if we expect to be found pleasing to God by pleasing God in our life. Live by faith. Paul desired for them in verse 19 of chapter 2 when he said, "What is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming?" He knew that those in the family that were not found pleasing to him would be ashamed and excused from his presence. Not lost, not abandoned to the lake of fire for the ages unto the ages. Just simply, they have to take the lower room. They have to take the lowest table at the banquet. When all along they thought they deserved to be at the head table. There are people today that believe that they belong at the head table. And I would say that Mr. Trump would believe that he belonged at the head table. And if he were invited to a banquet, he would move without question in that direction. And I believe there are believers, there are Christians today who believe they belong at the head table. And yet there are those that are unknown that will be qualified to sit at that head table, and those who have been used to doing it will be asked to step down. And let me say that when we are asked to step down to something that we're used to, there is shame that is associated with it. So Paul desired for them to be in his presence, not to be ashamed from his presence. And so therefore, I want to continue our thoughts this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and in verse 5. Paul exhorts those at Corinth to examine themselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Paul is exhorting them to examine, to prove, to test ourselves. And let me just back up here one moment and say this. We are saved when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. When we exercise the verb, believe. Faith is not a verb. You cannot verb a noun. Faith is a noun. It's a person, place, or thing. And it's, in fact, it's a place that you can be in. It says, prove yourself whether you be in the faith. In other words, are you living by faith? The verb living is the emphasis is on the action. And faith is that substance that changes or transforms our lives. But anyway, Paul says, examine yourselves, prove yourselves whether you be pleasing God or not. Not testing yourself whether you be saved. If we're saved by faith, how do we know that our faith was not lacking? When we were saved by faith. Let me say this. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no lacking. Either you do it or you don't. Faith is different. You can make shipwreck of the faith. You can abandon the faith. You can stop pleasing God, but God does not kick you out of the family. Once you're in the family of God, you have His DNA for eternity. But you can fall out of disfavor with him by not pleasing him. So Paul is exhorting us to examine ourselves, lest we be reprobate. Now the word reprobate is a good King James word that sounds foreboding. It sounds like you're lost if you're a reprobate. Let me just say this. The word reprobate comes from a Greek word meaning not approved. It has the Greek word a in front of the root word approve. And so Paul is saying if you're not in the faith, you may be disapproved. And this judgment will not take place until the judgment seat of Christ for believers. In James chapter 1 in verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth testings or trials, for when he is approved," the King James translates it, "when he is tried," but it's the root word of reprobate, and it should be translated approved, "he shall receive the crown of life." If we are approved, we will receive a crown. Crowns are symbols of authority and sovereignty in ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ in His coming kingdom. If we're not approved, there will be no crowns. And so therefore, blessed is the man that endures, that doesn't faint, that doesn't quit because of trials and testings that come his way. And we all have them. If you're part of the family of God and you're trying to please Him and to live by faith, you can count on it. There's going to be opposition. Maybe not some. There may be times that there is opposition on the outside, but remember that we are fighting spiritual battles where? In heavenly places. We're fighting principalities and powers. We're fighting the host of Satan. What is Satan trying to do? He is trying to get us to quit. Quit doing what? Quit living by faith. Why does he want us to quit living by faith? Because he knows if we're living by faith, we're pleasing God. And Satan is not interested in that at all. So, here we find the root word, approve, having to do with enduring testing and then also receiving a crown which the Lord has promised to them that love Him. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." If we correctly translate the word study as give diligence, and correctly translate the word show to the word present, and then if we give diligence to present ourselves approved unto God, we will be workmen that will not be ashamed. That's what 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 really means. It means to study the Word of God, but the word study, or the studying of the Word of God, is in the latter part of that verse where it says, rightly dividing the Word of truth. That's the studying of the Scriptures. If we expect to stand approved in His presence, if we expect to be approved by God, we need to be diligent in the Word of God. And we need to be diligent workmen. We need to be serving the Lord. We are servants of the Lord today. And how do we serve the Lord? Well, the Lord is not here physically. We can't wash His feet. We cannot give Him bread. We cannot visit Him in prison. We cannot give Him clothes. How do we do that today? How do we serve the Lord today? We serve the Lord by serving each other. I serve you. I minister to you. I care for you. Who am I caring for? Well, you're getting the blessing and the benefit, but Jesus Christ is getting the ministry. And the Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 6, I think it is in verse 10, that God is not unfaithful or unjust to forget your work and labor of love, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. So by ministering to each other, we're ministering to the Lord. We're serving the Lord. Now, we need to do the right thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in verse 19 it says, "For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you." One of the tests that we have, and that helps us to stand out as approved, is how do we react to false doctrine? And here it says in 1 Corinthians 11:19, if there are heresies among you, then those that are approved are going to be manifested. And they are manifested in that they oppose heresy. They oppose false doctrine. The passage in Deuteronomy is an interesting passage of Scripture in chapter 13, where it says, "If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods." Here is a prophet that prophesies or does a miracle in their midst, and everybody is astonished. It's like the sorcerer under Philip's ministry. Forgot his name right offhand. But you know, he was performing things that were astonishing people, and he was tricking people. But the point is here's a prophet who makes a prophecy that comes to pass, or he does a miracle that astonishes the people, but he is leading people away from God. Did you know that God allows that to happen in the midst of God's children? And it tells us that in verse 3. "Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." We can have convincing evidence. But if someone provides that convincing evidence that he is of God, so to speak, and yet causes us to go astray, how do we react? Well, if we act appropriately, then those that are approved will be manifested. That's the point I want you to get out of 1 Corinthians 11:19. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 18, "For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." There are those that are, the word commendeth means to stand with, and it's in the present tense. It's not he that pats himself on the back that's approved. It's whom the Lord approves that we need to recognize. So it's not how influential we may be. It's the approval of the Lord that we're looking for. That's what I wanted to bring out there. Now, who is a reprobate? Let's look at some of the evidences of a reprobate. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." Now, a lot of people speculate on Jannes and Jambres. They place them into the court of Egypt. But personally, I feel like that Jannes and Jambres are Jews that oppose Moses' ministry. These are saved men and that oppose the ministry of Moses. And because they resisted the truth, they became men of corrupt minds. They could not rightly divide the word, in other words. They came to the place where they were not able to rightly divide the word. And they became reprobate or disapproved concerning the faith. So, who are reprobates? They are those who resist the truth. It's an interesting thing to note in Proverbs. I can't think of the verse, but it's come to mind right now. Did you know that if we turn our hearts away from knowing the truth of the Word of God, our prayers are an abomination to the Lord? If you want your prayer life to work, you better be interested in the Word of God. And here are these men who are reprobate. They resist the truth. The thing that we don't want to do, we do not want to resist the truth. Romans chapter 1, verse 19 and following, we find those who are resisting the truth. In verse 19 of Romans 1, it says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest to them, for God has showed it unto them." Here are men whom God manifests truth to. And then we find in verse 21, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." This is, I believe, talking about believers who knew God. Yet they glorified Him not as God. I look at this a little different in that they did not glorify Him as their judge. The word God, theos, is used as in the context of being a judge. Jesus Christ, in the 10th chapter of Matthew, told the Jews, "You are gods." Remember that? Now they were picking up stones to stone Him, and He said, "For what sin are you going to stone me? Ye are gods. Ye are judges. You ought to be able to discern between that which is right and that which is wrong." And here is the point in this verse, I believe. They knew God, yet they did not they did not respect Him as their judge. They had no fear of God as being their judge. And so therefore they felt like they had liberties to take the truth of the Word of God and to change it. We see that in verse 25. "Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever." I think of this portion of Scripture as just simply saying, these men whose imaginations became vain and their hearts were darkened are those who are the powerful theologians, if you please, who quote each other. They respect and they honor each other by quoting each other rather than focusing on the Word. That's the reason why it says here, they worshiped or honored and served the creature more than the Creator. What creatures did they honor? Well, I don't think it was the birds and the four-footed beast. I think the creatures here were other doctor so-and-sos and other professor so-and-sos. And that was their problem. And then in verse 28 of Romans 1, it says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge..." And this word knowledge here is the Greek word epinosis. That's exact knowledge. That's knowledge upon knowledge. "And God gave them over to a reprobate mind," just like Jannes and Jambres. Jannes and Jambres opposed the truth. These in Romans chapter 1 also opposed the truth. They changed the Word of God, the truth, into a lie. And so God darkened their hearts and he gave them a reprobate mind, so that they would not do those things that were proper or fit. Now, Paul had a fear of becoming a reprobate. Believers should fear becoming a reprobate or disapproved. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, it says, "You know that not, you know not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be..." The word castaway is the word that is also translated reprobate. Paul feared becoming reprobate. What does it mean, after having preached to others, myself become a reprobate? He says, "I have been in the business of encouraging people to be faithful to the Lord and not to become reprobate, to examine themselves. What a tragedy it would be if they make it and I don't." That's what he's saying. It would be a tragedy. I don't want this to happen. So what does Paul do? He says, "I'm temperate in all things. I am under control. I don't let things rule over my body. I don't let things rule over my mind. I don't let things that are in the world control me so that God can't control me." He says, "I am temperate in all things because I want a incorruptible crown." He says, "I run this race not as uncertainly. I know my plan. I know my pace." And the only way that we can know the pace that we need to take in this race here on the earth is through the Word of God. The Word of God is that which gives us the plan, or the sports term that they use. But anyway, they have a plan. They have a game plan, I guess. Is that a game plan? They're going to use. The Word of God gives us the game plan. When I was in the Navy, we had posted on the board the plan of the day. This is when we go to work, this is when we go to lunch, this is when we come back to lunch, and this is when we get off, and who's on watch? The plan of the day. The Word of God is our plan. The Word of God gives us leadership and guidance. "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And so therefore, we do not have to run uncertainly. We can run with purpose. We don't have to shadow box. In fact, our warfare is not shadow boxing. Our warfare is real. And Paul feared about being a castaway. Then in Hebrews chapter 6 and verses 7 and 8, it says, "For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is disapproved, castaway, reprobate, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." The burning part, the burning part here, I believe, is associated with our works. The fruits that we have will be consumed. The wood, hay, and the stubble will be consumed. Now, here is the sad thing. God provides what we need that we might receive a blessing. God provided everything that the nation of Israel needed to go into the land. But they turned that blessing into corruption. They couldn't believe God. They didn't like the manna. And it went on and on and on. You know, God can provide a blessing for us, but we can turn our hearts against Him. There are those today that are blaming God for this and for that. Let me say this. His thoughts are not our thoughts, and His ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. If we were looking at our life from His perspective, I've always said, we would say, pour it on. But looking at it from my perspective, Lord, back off. We all have those experiences. But you know, the Lord does at times back off in His mercy. It happened in Job's life. The Lord eventually backed off and gave him double portion. And so therefore, what are we doing with the blessings that God is giving us? What are we doing with the strength that He has provided us? Are we producing the fruit that will glorify Him? Are we bearing thorns and briars? I don't know very many animals that can eat thistles and thorns, but there are a few. But I don't know of any of us that can enjoy those things. My grandmother, I think, may have made prickly pear preserves with lots of sugar, but there were no prickly in them. Anyway, we need to bear fruit that would bring be pleasing to Him. So, we need to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. And throughout the New Testament, we find the exhortation to stand fast in the faith, not to stumble and to fall. We are exhorted in Jude chapter 1, verse 3, to contend for the faith. Contending for the faith is simply encouraging other people to live by faith. And let me bring this out. Did you know you can't live by faith if you're living in sin? You can't please God and live in sin at the same time. That's the reason why when it says the just shall live by faith, the just are those who are pleasing God. And just being saved does not make you just. Because you can be saved and live unjustly, just like David and Solomon and others in the family of God. So we are to contend for the faith delivered to the saints. Paul says, I have kept the faith, I have guarded the faith, therefore there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. So, Paul, I wanted to finish our thoughts from last Sunday about examining ourselves and proving ourselves to know that Christ in us has got to be in us, except we be reprobate. And I want to close with this. Christ in us is not the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us. Paul, in speaking to the church in Galatia, in chapter 4, he says, I travail in birth again till Christ be formed in you. The implication of the word again was that Christ had been in them before, and they had begun to trust that they were pleasing God by living under the law and not living by faith. And so therefore, Christ in them, Paul had to travail in birth again till Christ be formed in them. What does that mean? Well, I believe personally that if Christ is in me, I have His mind. I have His purpose. I have His objectives. When I look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. I don't think that was necessarily the cross on which he was crucified. I think that had to do with the burden that he had to bear in his ministry here on the earth. Let me tell you, how long was the cross, the crucifixion? It only lasted a day. If all you have to bear is one day's worth of suffering, that is really nothing. But to bear the cross of persecution and contradiction and constantly being badgered by the scribes and the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the lawyers, day in and day out, this is the cross that he despised, that he endured. He despised the shame. What shame did he despise? I think that he despised the shame of being disapproved if he didn't endure. I don't think Jesus Christ would have failed, but he is the author. He is the one who is our example. And he is the one who is showing us that we need to despise the shame of not examining ourselves, that we be in the faith, that we be pleasing God. And we need to consider, and by the way, because he did this, he was given a throne. And we will do, and we would also receive a throne to serve with him in his coming kingdom. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your soul, in your mind. You can be wearied. You can become tired. You can want to throw in the towel. You want to quit. God doesn't want us to do that. We need to run with patience the race that is set before us. We need to count it all joy when we fall into diverse testings. That the trying of our faith will cause us and allows us to become, to have the endurance that we need to run the race with patience. And I'm going to conclude with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 and 58. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always. I highlighted those words. Steadfast, unmovable, always. It seems like today there's nobody steadfast. If it's too hot, I'll move. And always, never. But let me tell you, if we're steadfast, we're unmovable, and we're always abounding in the work of the Lord, you can count on it that your labor is not a waste of time. It's worth it. When we stand in His presence and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and enter into the joy of the Lord. May the Lord help us in these days to examine ourselves and to see if there are things that are lacking in the area of pleasing God, and then change. That's what Paul wanted to see happen to those at Thessalonica and at Corinth and at Grace Bible Church and other churches around the world. Change is what's important, not knowledge. Father, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it speaks to our hearts. It provides wisdom and counsel and guidance for us. And it also explains and provides the way of salvation. We know, Lord, that we were sinners in need of a Savior. And Father, you responded to that need in sending Jesus Christ to die for us. We thank you, Father, that you not only provided a Savior, but you provided a high priest for us that we might have victory in our walk with you. We pray that you'd bless the ministry of your word this morning to each heart and to each need here this morning. For it's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.